50 years ago this week, a paper appeared in the journal Nature that described the three-dimensional structure of DNA. That discovery kicked off a revolution in biology, but it also brought fear and controversy. Tinkering with genes raised the specter of monster organisms ravaging people and the environment. Today, we begin a three-part series on how DNA has changed our world. NPR's Joe Palca explores how, 30 years ago, scientists took the lead dealing with potentially troubling research in a way that no longer seems possible today.
Biochemist Maxine Singer was a graduate student at Yale University in 1953 when the copy of Nature with the DNA paper arrived in her mailbox.
In those days, the literature in biochemistry and related things was actually quite small. Believe it or not, we were expected as graduate students to read every issue of every journal that came.
The paper changed the course of Singer's career. By the early 70s, she was a leader in the brand new world of DNA science. Then, at a conference in 1973, another scientific bombshell exploded. Researchers in California had discovered an efficient way to move genes from one organism to another, from a fruit fly into a bacteria, for example. Singer, who has just retired as president of the Carnegie Institution of Washington, says everyone at the conference sensed the research raised new and troubling concerns.
It was really quite remarkable that most of the people there thought, yeah, this is something we ought to do something about. We shouldn't just forget this.
Singer says the main worry was safety. What if some gene put into bacteria created a super germ that would threaten the world? DNA research was still a small field. Scientists at the conference were the only ones who knew about this research and the threats it posed. But they felt something had to be done. So a group of senior DNA scientists got together and called for a temporary halt on certain kinds of experiments using this ability to move genes around.
And they also called for an international conference, which then became the Asilomar Conference in February of 75.
The Asilomar Conference was a unique scientific event. Scientists got together at this conference facility on the California coast and basically spelled out the rules that would govern and in some cases restrict the kinds of research they could do. But balancing exciting science with safety concerns was tricky. Molecular biologist Robert Sinsheimer attended Asilomar.
It was sort of funny. On the one hand, there would be discussions about possible hazards, and on the other hand, these would be interspersed with reports of people doing the research, which everybody seemed much more interested in, because it was all very exciting new research.
But some in Congress didn't think the restrictions scientists proposed at Asilomar went far enough. Some legislators wanted a permanent ban on recombinant DNA research. But scientists successfully argued laws were unnecessary and would foreclose promising work, work that did lead to new drugs and therapies. The legislation foundered. In the end, says Maxine Singer, fears about monster organisms never materialized.
Happily, it turned out that those who thought there was nothing to worry about were right, which is not to say that what was done was wrong.
But if scientists were able to set their own limits in the 1970s, the latest fruits of DNA research have already brought more external scrutiny. Shirley Tillman is a molecular biologist and president of Princeton University. She says the marriage of DNA technology and stem cell research has opened exciting directions for biomedical science. But today, she says, there's a strong effort in Congress, supported by President Bush, to limit stem cell research and ban entirely using cloning techniques to make stem cells.
I'm hoping that, as was the case in the late 70s, in this case, we will come to a reasoned and measured set of recommendations and regulations that will not inhibit science from moving forward, but will restrict those kinds of experiments that I think we're not ready to entertain.
Perhaps that will happen, but the 70s were a long time ago, and today scientists might not be the ones to choose what science they can pursue. Joe Palca, NPR News, Washington.